We were in the habit of referring to the secular power as if it were one thing down through the ages. This seemed simple-minded or even insulting to some extras, though they did essentially the same thing when they spoke of the powers that be. Of course, we knew it was an oversimplification, but for us it was a useful convenience. Whatever empire, republic, despotate, papacy, anarchy, or depopulated wasteland lay beyond our walls at a given moment, we could slap this name on it and predicate certain things of it. What you are reading does not attempt to set forth details as to how the secular power was constituted in my day. Such information can be had anywhere. It might even be interesting if you know nothing about the history of the world up to the terrible events. But if you have studied that, everything since will seem like repetition, and all the particulars as to how the secular power of my day was organized will remind you of more or less ancient forerunners, but with less majesty and clarity, since the ancients were all doing it for the first time and believed they were onto something. But at this point, I had to attend to one of those details. The secular power in my day was a federation. It broke down into political units that more or less agreed with Arbor's continents. One could travel freely within most of those units, but to cross from one to another, one had to have documents. The documents were not that difficult to obtain, unless one was avowed. Since the reconstitution, we had existed wholly apart from the legal system of the secular power. They had no records of us, no jurisdiction over us, no responsibility for us. They could not draft us into their armies, levy taxes on us, or even step through our gates except at Appert. Likewise, they would not offer us assistance of any kind, except for protecting us from direct assault by mobs or armies, if they felt like it. We didn't get pensions or medical care from the secular power, and we certainly didn't get identity documents. It has become obvious during the writing of this that it might one day be read by people from other worlds. So I'll say that we considered ourselves to have 10 continents, but that the cousins, or anyone else who came to us from beyond and looked at Arb afresh, would have said we had only 7, and they would have been right. We counted ours as 10 because the original tally had been made by explorers working outwards from the Sea of Seas, who could only guess at what might lay more than a few days' march from its convoluted shores. It happened more than once that they bestowed distinct names on lands that were sundered by straits and gulfs, but that on further and much later exploration proved to be lobes of the same great landmass reaching toward the Sea of Seas from different quarters. But by that time the places had made their way into the classical myths and histories under the ancient names, which we could no more dislodge from the culture than we could withdraw one of the colossal foundation stones that supported the Minster. Likewise, during the rebirth, land had been found on the other side of the world from the Sea of Seas and had been proclaimed and mapped as a new continent. But centuries later it had been determined that the far northern reaches of that continent wrapped over the North Pole and thence extended south all the way to the Sea of Seas. It was not a new continent at all, but a limb of the oldest and best-known continent, and no one had ever had a clue about it, because even the aboriginal peoples who knew how to live in ice houses could not venture much above 80 degrees of latitude. To prove that the old and new continents were one, it was necessary to go all the way up to 90 degrees north latitude, the North Pole, and then descend to 80 or less on the other side. This had not been accomplished until the last century before the terrible events, and it had not changed people's habit of referring to the place that Cord, Saman, Ganeliel Crade, and I were on now, and the landmass forming the northern boundary of the Sea of Seas, as two different continents. The ice cap separated the two even more absolutely than an ocean would have, and no normal person ever traveled between them that way. They flew in an aircraft, or did it in a ship. But to do it by aircraft or ship, you'd have to pass through ports of entry and show documents. Orlo had none, and no hope of getting any. So he was doing what was logical, which was to exploit the fact that the two continents were in fact one. Cord had been the first to put this whole picture together in her mind. No, she'd been the second. The first had been Fra Jad.
"The sledge trains. That's like something out of a children's storybook to me," Saman said. "Do they still operate?"
"They were shut down for a while, but they are running again now," Crate confirmed.
The price of metals went up. People went back to stripping the deep ruins.
We used to make parts for the sledge locomotives in the machine hall where I worked, Cord said. We were the largest machine hall that was so far north, so they'd send the jobs to us. It's been a source of business for that shop for over 1,000 years. We had to make them of special alloys that wouldn't shatter in the cold.
And she went on in this vein for a minute or two. She could talk about alloys the way some girls talked about shoes. Craig and Saman, who'd been so fascinated to hear about the sledge train idea at first, got less and less so the more Cord said about it. In my mind, I was replaying the memory of Fra Jad in Orlo's cell yesterday. He couldn't have spent more than half a minute gazing at these phototypes before he had figured it all out. Even if you were the kind of person who attributed nearly supernatural powers to the Thousanders, this seemed a little weird. He must have had some prior knowledge about this.
This excavation, I said, tapping my finger on the phototype.
Everyone looked at me funny.
I realized that I had just interrupted Cord's disquisition about alloys.
On the Spiele, victims of a roadside massacre, their hysterical wives rending their clothes and rolling on the ground. I continued,
I'll bet you my last energy bar that if you look it up, you'll find that it is 690 years old.
You think they started digging this hole in 3000?
Said Ganeliel Craid.
Why? You like round numbers?
This was an extremely rare attempt by Craid to make a joke, and so etiquette required me to smirk at it for a moment before I answered.
I'm pretty sure Fra Jad knew that this was going on. He recognized this as soon as he saw it, so I'm thinking that this dig must have been launched during the most recent millennial convox. The Thousander Math at Sant Edhar would have sent delegates to that convox, and so they would have heard about it, and brought the knowledge back home with them, which is how Fra Jad knew.
Saman, as usual, was ready to play devil's advocate.
I'm not disagreeing. But if you're right, it seems strange to me that Fra Jad could take one look at this phototype and know that it was the Orathena dig. It could be any hole in the ground. There's nothing to peg it to Ekba.